Welcome to Brain Injury Conversations. Hello, I'm Cynthia. Today's guest is Scott Pollock, who, by his own admission, believes he is truly one of the lucky ones. Scott had a ruptured brain aneurysm, a bleed on the brain, but it went undiagnosed for days. In the early days of Scott's recovery, he developed some compulsive manic behaviours, from painting and drawing, something he had never done before, to attending gym and horse riding. To quote Scott, he was like an obsessed Energizer bunny. Scott explains the changes the experience has had on his life and the positive and creative doors it has opened. Good morning, Scott. Thank you for talking to us today.
My pleasure.
Scott, can you briefly tell us about your brain injury?
Okay, well, it's probably about 8 years ago now, and I was riding a horse, actually, when I got the huge headache and went whack. And it's a bit of a long story, but it took 10 days for them to actually realise that it was there after multiple scans. And then I suddenly got a phone call saying, get to the hospital now. And then within the day, I had a clip, so I was operated on. And then basically
we explain that a little bit? So you had a ruptured aneurysm that had a slow bleed. And for some reason they found... So when you say clipping, it means you had a craniotomy and they went in and clipped the aneurysm to stop the bleeding and to stop the aneurysm. Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. Sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, it did. It took 10 days to diagnose, which was strange after multiple, scans. But then they did find it and then it happened.
Quite
it's extraordinary.
Bizarre.
Yeah, and I still don't know. It'd be interesting, actually, for me to actually ask the... how that could have even happened because as I said, it's quite amazing because someone was still looking at it, even though they'd twice said,
And did you have that massive headache the entire time?
Yes, and it didn't. It went for like 10 days until they finally found it. I think it did actually go down a tiny bit, but it was there every day, no matter what I had, no matter what medication.
I can't imagine you being in that much pain for that long.
I know. I do actually remember when I actually walked into, I'd taken the ambulance down to Nepean Hospital, walked into ICU or wherever they took me, and the nurses sort of looked at me and doubled and said, "You're not meant to be like this." So just incredibly fortunate.
Incredibly fortunate.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. So once they clipped it, you're in hospital.
Yes, I was in hospital, then out, then probably a few months later, I just started waking up in the middle of the night and all I had I was hyper energy and I just was going and I was just drawing and painting and drawing and painting, which is something that I'd never really done before at all. And I just couldn't stop myself and it was just like I was having such release and such enjoyment through it all. It was quite amazing. It wasn't just the drawing and painting. I'd go all day, I'd work all day, I'd do the gym, ride the horse, do this, go back, go to sleep and up again.
And so for someone who hadn't really painted or drawn apart from at school, you would wake up in the middle of the night with a compulsion going, I need to paint.
Yep.
Wow.
And first of all, it was in the house and then we had this granny flat at the back and then I took over that. So I had 2.5 rooms, sort of 2 rooms with a bathroom, laundry sort of thing onto it. And I just took over that whole place and I just had paintings everywhere and there was paint on the wall and there was this.
I was about to say, if you're waking up in the middle of the night, did you just grab anything to either paint on or draw on?
Yeah.
Or a wall?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't quite that bad at the wall. When I say it was all over the walls, where the paint went, if I was just being quite freedom in my work and that sort of stuff, it wasn't like I was drawing all over the walls.
Right.
But, yes, so, and I would have just doing anything. But I did start doing drawing, and although I was painting as well, I was still very aware that I thought if I've got to do this seriously, I really got to learn how to draw. I saw that as the basics. Mm-hmm. So I did draw lots and lots and lots, and then it would be drawing just with a wash of colour over, and then I'd use an ink pen just to sort of highlight things very squiggly and spontaneous, yeah.
And were you drawing or painting anything in particular then? Did you have a theme that you can go back and see?
Oh, I just used lots of different photos and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, and then I had it was a huge interest because I saw that the emotion I was feeling was so taking over my life. I got very fascinated in emotions and how they coloured how we were experiencing life in that second. And so I was always trying to draw different emotions, whether it be different emotions of myself or of other people. So whether it be someone incredibly laughing or crying or confused or upset or in love or whatever. So I was always just trying to capture those emotions on paper.
So a big emotion in a moment on paper.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, well said, yeah.
And we said art wasn't in your life before your injury.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it really was. I mean, I did art at school. I really enjoyed art at school. That was like 34, well, I'm 61 now, so that was how long ago that was. It was a long, long time ago, 45 years or something. And look, I might have picked up a pen or something occasionally to draw something every few years, but it wasn't, you know, just doodling while I was out in the sun or something, you know what I mean? So it certainly wasn't, I had no intention, didn't see it as a hobby, it wasn't like that at all.
Mm. And during the time since you have started painting and since the injury, has your art changed? And is it changing?
Yes, it has changed. But I still have portraiture a lot, so I still do a lot of portraiture. I still, you know, there's certain things that don't change. Like the portraiture doesn't change. I like very matte colours. Although I have done a couple of glossy ones, but usually just very matte colours, very stark, very spontaneous. So that spontaneity is probably always there. I've probably just done probably about 3 portraits in the last couple of years which were more detailed, but they're still not realistic by any means, but they're more detailed and more concentration was done on there and with a finer brush, where usually it would just be totally bigger brush, bigger movements, very sort of free.
So really big, broad strokes.
Yes, and not many colours. Quite simple. I always
so very limited palette.
Very limited palette. Yeah, but and that was the thing that I don't have because I don't. I never had the schooling. I never had. I mean, I've done workshops since that and that sort of thing, but I don't know. I haven't learnt the art of drawing or the art of brushes or the different how oils and these work and that work and all. I have never done any of that sort of.
What medium do you work in, Scott?
I really do acrylics because oils just take too long to dry.
Yeah, too hard. Quite spontaneous. Patience for that?
No, not at all.
So and especially, I suppose, not when you've got that compulsion. You're not going to, you know, be like, oh, wait around for these oils to dry so I can do a bit more. No.
And I love, I also love soft pastels. I just love the colours of them. I think they're amazing. And also
and the way you can move them around. So why would you say art is important to you now?
Well, it's become my life since then. I mean, it really has. It's now my job. I just love art. I love galleries. I love the whole expression of it. I think it's just something that you find, and it's like anything, whether it be gardening or this or that. I mean, it's just a passion that you get into. You love it. You understand it. It relaxes you. It allows you to release things, allows you to express your feelings. It's just a wonderful, wonderful way of, you know, of putting your mark, you know, your opinions on the world out there.
Mm. And so it's an expression of your emotions, other people's emotions?
Yeah, it still is that as well, definitely.
Yeah. Well, Scott, thank you very much.
That's
and we'll
my
talk
pleasure.
To you again soon.
Wonderful. Thanks, Cynthia.
Scott Pollock was our guest on today's episode of Brain Injury Conversations. If you go to our Facebook page, Brain Injury Conversations, you can see some of Scott's artwork. Also, if you'd like to hear other conversations in our series, please subscribe to our podcast so that you never miss another episode. Until next time, I'm Cynthia.